Pisces and Pisces Rising. Welcome to your 2014 Spring Report. My name is Eric Francis, your astrologer, with some perspectives, opinions, and some information for you. With Pisces, we arrive at the last sign of the zodiac, and for the human race, that is a long story, and you hang out at the end. Basically, you hang out at the delta of where all the rivers flow to the sea. And yet for you, this is a time of beginnings and of increasing clarity. And recent months have been an occasion to get everything out in the open. It's as if there's been some kind of an ongoing process of revelation where all of the things that you couldn't see, suddenly you are able to see clearly, including, most importantly, yourself and your potential. There is so much going on in your sign, in Pisces, and probably what is the second most important sign to Pisces, which is the 10th house, which is Sagittarius, the kind of other Pisces in that oil and water kind of way, that we need to use a little bit of shorthand to get to the point. And we get to the point with Jupiter, the ruler of Pisces, and also the ruler of Sagittarius. And by ruler, I mean the traditional ruler. I'm going to come back to essence of Neptune being in your sign, the modern ruler, but let's stick with the traditional ruler first, following my basic guide of using order of operations, classical planets first, and then modern planets, and then minor planets. With Jupiter kind of summing up the incredible complexity in both Pisces and Sagittarius landing in the fifth house, the message is, in whatever you're doing, take a bold and creative approach. Now, this is like, you know, probably, I don't know who would say that. Somebody would say that, suggest that's the approach to things, but generally it's not the way the world works. Generally, the way the world works is take the safest and most boring approach, or take something that could be arguably said to be creative but isn't really. And I would say that in the language of astrology, bold, creative, and taking some risk, taking a chance, are what properties you want when you approach a question, a situation, a problem, a goal, anything really, including your approach to people, your approach to the relationships that you have. It's necessary for you at this point, at this moment, not so much to be a follower, not to be so much someone who is kind of told the way things are and who has the terms set for them, but rather someone who takes initiative and does most of the setting of the terms of the situations in your life. And this is not easy for Pisces. It's not easy for most people to push back against the world, to take charge. There are those few people who do. That's their specialty. And whether they have any ideas or not, or you know, whether they have any, you know, real leadership or not, it tends to be the more bossy types who run the world. And that does not mean that the most sensitive, creative, talented, or intelligent people run the world, because many of the most sensitive, talented, creative, and intelligent people don't have any desire to run things. They don't want to be the boss. They don't want to push back or step up and take responsibility for others and take charge. But the way your charts look right now, your life is all about, at the very least, taking creative authority over the circumstances of your own life and not having those particular terms set for you. And for you, this may feel like really pushing pretty hard on the world. It may feel like you are being more demanding than you would normally prefer to be. And I would say that if you're going to work an edge, if you are going to err on the side of anything, that would rightly be the side of being a little too assertive rather than not assertive enough. And I would again suggest that the main form this take is in the form of your approach to situations. This is not, I'm not looking at a chart that is about dominating people, but I'm also looking at a chart that is very much about not being dominated on the level of ideas or on the level of your values. So this is really a very personal kind of leadership. There is a profound element of self-respect involved, but mostly the growth edge for you is tapping into accessing and putting to use your creative mind, and then therefore not being subject to what amount to the less than adequate ideas of others, or ideas that don't necessarily fit what you have in mind. And so what is essential along with this is that you maintain your vision for what you want. And often that comes initially with eliminating things that you don't want, making sure that you know what you don't want as well. And when you see that, to choose against it and hold space open, therefore, for what you do want. And then more significantly, having an agenda that is clear, that is clearly yours, and that you don't have any reservations about having. And I'm saying all this so carefully because I know that in the lives of many Pisces people, it's just not their thing to take charge in this way, including taking charge in their own lives. And it's frustrating to experience, and it's frustrating to see, and it's entirely unnecessary. The beauty of your charts right now and for the foreseeable future is about how much you have to work with, and that is a lot. That is plenty. And when you tap into your leadership skills and when you begin to get clear about what your agenda is, you're going to access a deeper level of your strength, what you might call a spiritual strength, and that will affirm for you that you are on the right track, that when you take command over your creativity, when you decide what's going to be in the frame or in the recording or in the story or in the project, and you know, you've thought it through, you use your experience, you use your intelligence, and most of all, you summon that mysterious thing in the human psyche that can make something out of nothing, that can turn a vacuum into something beautiful, that being creativity. Of course, it doesn't come from a vacuum, but sometimes it seems to. That will feel good. And if you're already sniffing up that trail, I suggest that you keep going with it. And again, there's this necessary piece of being willing to take a chance, being willing to whatever it might be, to exceed some thing that you've done in the past, exceed a boundary, exceed what people's expectations might be, be a little bit more risque than is necessary, bring in other ingredients, take a different approach, and if you're, again, going to err, make the mistakes on that side rather than leaning back on what you consider to be safe territory, especially because something has happened before. Now, there is so much energy running through you and your charts that the The element of precision in the choices that you make is crucial. There is a point dancing around your seventh house cusp right now. It is a very slow moving point. It takes something like, I'm just going to do kind of a crude calculation, 75 times 12, something on the order of 900 years to orbit the sun. There's not many points we know of that are that slow. This is a hypothetical point. It's called Trans-Pluto. It doesn't really exist except in computers and in the minds of some astrologers who use it as a kind of a symbol. But with this point dancing around your seventh house cusp, your relationship cusp is saying that you need to be very conscious of the people who are in your life and make very good choices about the people who are in your life. There's a need to really focus on discernment around people. This also may exceed something that is one of your more, you know, friendly traits, which is not wanting to be so judgmental. And not wanting to narrow people down to a description of what might be their least appealing traits and say, oh, that's that person. But for your part, it's essential that you know, that you observe people's strong points and weak points, and that when you determine that someone's presence in your life is unhealthy, most of all based on their conduct and the things that they say to you, that you be clear about whether or not you want them in your life. And you have every right not to have in your life people who disturb you or who do what is sometimes in therapy called crazy making. People whose purpose just seems to be to mess you up in some way. The thing with crazy makers is that they exist by appointment, basically. They can show up, but they're not going to be able to have an influence or a lasting influence unless you grant them that permission. And this is one of the reasons why it's so crucial that you make choices. And Trans-Pluto is dancing above and below the horizon. Currently, right now, it has dipped back into the late degrees of Libra, rather Leo. And while it is there, it will be possible for you to gain clarity pretty much about everyone. People will have a tendency to let their secrets out. And this thing that people do, which is tell you who they are and what their agenda is pretty soon after showing up, if not the moment they show up, is something to really be mindful of and to pay attention to. Because once people have informed you of who they are, that gives you a real measure of responsibility over what happens next. Because after all, you know their agenda, and if you leave them in the room, then you have invited in their agenda also. Okay, so let's look, I'll speak a little bit less in generalities here, though I have commented on two points, Jupiter in Cancer in the fifth, and then Trans-Pluto dancing around your seventh house cusp in between the first degree of Virgo and the last degree of Leo, a very interesting transit that I think is one of those things that is epical. It's one of those things that's helping us move forward into a new era. I think we really do need the discernment of Trans-Pluto in Virgo. It has been in Leo since the 1930s, and it is definitely indicative of a time when there has been insufficient discernment and way too much emphasis placed on self-gratification. And I think that Trans-Pluto in Virgo is going to be symbolic of more discernment and more emphasis on service and on healing and less emphasis on self-gratification. And in my opinion, though I do believe we are here to enjoy ourselves, I think the planet would be a much happier place were more people focused on healing and service and discernment and actually working with what information they have. as opposed to spending their whole lives ignoring the information that they have or that we have. Okay, so I'm going to focus initially here on the contents of some of the contents of Pisces and of Sagittarius, the two signs that are the most influential. Then I'm going to give a roundup of how this cardinal cross is influencing you. Though I think that typically when the minor planets are read carefully and when the classical planets are read carefully, they will almost always give parallel stories. What's interesting about reading the planets from the classical point of view is that you get an idea of how the chart would have looked to an astrologer maybe 100 years ago who didn't use all these minor points, and you can translate the planetary placements into modern terms, but using classical placements. Then we can use the modern placements and tell the story differently. So I've done both of these layers, but let's talk about what's going on in Pisces because it's so interesting. It involves so many minor planets. The news, the big news about Pisces is that Nessus has arrived after spending 10 years in Aquarius. Nessus is a centaur planet, kind of like Chiron, which is also in your chart in Pisces. And these centaurs accent, intensify, focus, experience. They also concentrate your abilities. They concentrate your basically your gifts. I would say power. That's one way to look at it, but it's a very subtle form of power. This is not the throwing thunderbolts form of power or throwing around millions of dollars form of power. It's power that is distinctly rooted in consciousness, and in Pisces, a level of consciousness that really can be called spiritual consciousness, although I think that concept's a little bit controversial. Let's see if I can get it to mean something. Nessus arriving is big news because it spent so long in Aquarius and now it has emerged in Pisces. Now, Pisces is in a time of slow movers arriving one at a time in that kind of delta fashion, as all rivers flow to the sea. And the other recent arrivals include Chiron and Neptune and currently quick mover Venus, plus a lot of interesting asteroids. Now, this kind of concentrated conjunction of Chiron, Neptune, and Nessus is another way of saying focus your creative power and your healing power. They are very closely related. They're also saying it is essential that you not compromise on this one really crucial thing that we need to know about being on Earth and surviving in our society and thriving in our society, which is that you must be yourself. And with centaur planets in your sign, being yourself means being different. It means standing out. And it means understanding that you're not going to be popular with everyone. In fact, there are some people to whom you're going to be downright irritating. And you need to have a thick skin about that and not let it bother you. I've often said to people who write to me and say, I have Chiron in Pisces, and for a long time in my career, I would get a letter from this person who would say, you know, you really shouldn't mix politics and astrology. And then I'd get another letter from someone who would say, you know, you really shouldn't have sex on an astrology website. Then I'd get another letter from someone who would say, you know, you really shouldn't have nude photos on an astrology website. And then I'd get another one that would say something like, you should, I love your podcast, but you use the F word too often. You really shouldn't do that. Finally, I started writing these people back a letter that said, there's a lot of people who have an opinion about some one thing that I shouldn't do or should do differently. And if I listened to all those people who told me that I should do that one thing differently, I wouldn't be myself at all, not even vaguely. You would not be able to recognize me. Therefore, thanks for the information. and I'll see you some other place. I don't get these letters anymore, and I don't need to respond anymore. But the theme here is it is essential that you not let others dictate, including in nickel and dime fashion or including in some more tyrannical fashion, who you are. And it's therefore vital that you understand the various modes of that kind of pruning back that people do and the ways that you may have been pruned back as a child. And all of us are. All of us go through this kind of guilt, no, don't be that, don't stand out, which is a form of guilting. Children tend to be very passionate and creative, and they tend to, in some ways, very often threaten their caregivers and their parents. And so children not wanting to threaten the people who, you know, feed them and provide shelter will often prune themselves back. The phase of life you're in right now is a phase of resprouting all those branches that were pruned and asserting your creative self as a matter of integrity, as a matter of your most fundamental strength on earth, reclaiming basically everything that was sort of like snipped away and hidden away and tucked away, or that you hid away and concealed from others because you didn't want to seem too different, because you didn't want to seem too smart. You didn't want to kind of shine like jade and ring like a bell, as the Tao Te Ching or something warns against. You didn't want to seem too beautiful. And I know that people do a lot of dumbing themselves down. And this is exactly what I'm suggesting. Not only won't work, can't possibly work, serves no productive purpose, and is certainly not in alignment with your astrology. Let's see what else is going on here. Now, there's another concentration in late Pisces that is so interesting. It's hard for me to put it into words, but here's what I came up with in writing today's Planet Waves lead article, which focuses a lot on the concentration of planets in Pisces, and in particular the Neptune-Venus or Venus-Neptune conjunction that is going on today. This rather lavish, but at the same gorgeous, really, but at the same time cautionary aspect that's happening. And while this beautiful, this is today being Friday, the 11th of April, the probable day of publication of this whole project. While this is all going on in early Pisces, this concentration in the first half of Pisces, basically of Nessus and then Chiron and Neptune and then Venus, and then just a little bit later is Borsisi, a slow mover about belief and truth and lies, and with some core visioning engine, I think, going on inside this point, very slow mover, more than 300 years, called Borsisi. Way at the end of Pisces, there is this concentration of points that includes Pandora, of Pandora's box fame, Arachne, the spider web goddess, who's a storyteller, and Astraea, justice. When you put these, and Icarus, peak experiences. Icarus is a figure from mythology. We know him as the guy who flew toward the sun. His wings melted, but in translation into astrology, we get the image of peak experiences. And the message here seems to be that deep within yourself is this story that you are living. And if you are a storyteller, which any form of art has some form of narrative to it, whether you're creating sculpture or painting or photographing, writing songs, just writing music or writing, or heck, sitting around the campfire telling stories, that there is a story that wants to come out, and when you open that dimension of yourself, it's going to keep going. And so this is extremely encouraging for the creation of art, because it's suggesting, the whole story of Pisces is suggesting a kind of an infinite creative well that is boundless, and all you need to do really is be the thing at the top of the well, regulating the flow. And given the precision with which centaurs work, it seems to me like you should easily be able to slow it down, speed it up, even stop it for a while, and then be able to resume when you want it. But I would say that you have no reason to fear that your creativity is not going to basically go as deep and as far as you want it. Now, that said, there are always exceptions to the astrology, and there may be one very obvious impression, and at the same time, there you know, could be another side of the story for a lot of people. So I want to talk about the possibility of where there might be blockages. One potential blockage is in the area of faith. You may be going through a phase where you wonder what is possible, and therefore where you either feel like it's not possible or you feel tested to do it yourself. I would suggest that while you are experimenting with what you can create, and while you definitely have it coming through in a very personal way with your energy impression and signature all over it, that you honor the mysterious source of creativity. We don't necessarily need to get into God. That might be your thing. But I think that God, to be a meaningful concept, or higher self, or the spirit, or the soul, to be a meaningful concept, there must be some pragmatic aspect to it, must be useful in some way, and that the moralistic approach, which may, I'm talking about Saturn retrograde in the ninth house, the moralistic approach, not so useful, not so helpful. And remember that most things that are considered beautiful, sensuous, creative, passionate, often get a moral judgment tacked onto them. And so you need to work with that factor. But also, if you're feeling blocked, do a little reality check on whether you might be harboring some notion that it's not moral to be so passionate, so creative, so full of vitality, desire, sexual energy, luscious imagination, and anything else that might come along with that. Consistent with that is the way that Mars retrograde is influencing your chart. Now, Mars retrograde is in a pretty sensitive spot in your chart. It's in the eighth house. Saturn is in the ninth, and I'm going to show how they're connected in half a moment. Mars retrograde in Libra in the eighth may be making it seem like it's just not possible to actually connect with others sexually, and there may be some financial bit about that. Now, let's talk about the sex part first. There is clearly a relationship between Saturn and Mars, because Saturn is a very important planet to Libra. It's called the exalted planet. Mars is the traditional ruler of Scorpio, and the two are occupying one another's zones in the horoscope. So I would suggest that, first of all, you be patient, and second, that you use your time between now and when Mars stations direct May 19th very well, and that you assess, first of all, your sexual reality, which means your relational reality, on the level of whose morality is influencing you. This seems to be a profound theme that I hadn't noticed before. I do this a lot, and it's like just coming out, just like glaring out of this chart right now. So do a kind of a moral inventory and make sure you are aware of whose judgments may be influencing you and whose ideas, supposedly spiritual, possibly religious ideas, are influencing you. To do that, it's necessary to go deep, and it's necessary to look with a critical eye at what has been said to you, and for that matter, what people who are currently in positions of spiritual influence, whether they be teachers, gurus, books you're reading, different philosophical viewpoints, nearly all of which put down sexuality as a mode of relationship. All of these judgments, all of this morality doesn't just come from us. People are not just born saying, oh, this is sinful or this is wrong. Generally speaking, it is a social control mechanism that is doing this. And part of that social control mechanism usually involves, in fact, almost always involves, raising quote unquote God's love on a level above human love. I would say the thing that you want, just reading a chart here and speaking from my values, is human love. God's love is wonderful, but human contact is why we're on earth in bodies. It's why we can talk to each other. It's why we can look at each other. It's why we have eyes to see each other's eyes. Human contact. There's plenty of time in eternity to play harps with the angels. We are here having our experience of being here, whatever you want to call that experience, human or spiritual or whatever, we're having it. And we're here and alive with a pulse, breathing right now. And this Mars retrograde phase seems to be about working out the details of that and making sure that you understand the ways in which really, in almost every facet of relating, the most important thing in the relationship is the connection of underlying values. Now, here's where this gets tricky. Most people have not really studied their values that well. I would go so far as to say, without verging into cynicism, but just speaking as someone who's filled a lot of notebooks with my observations of the human race, is that most people actually don't know their values. They're willing to sell out their integrity for a relatively cheap price. Most folks treat their time as if it's worthless, their energy and their creativity as if it's worthless. And one of the things that you are here to do right now, given that you are discovering the worth of your creativity, the value of your time, the beauty of what you create, and the overall rightness of your existence, is to study the values of others, of course, also studying the values of yourself, but I'm talking about now in relationship, to the point where you understand them a little bit better than they do. In reality, on the day-to-day level, that's really not that hard. People do know themselves, but there's a lot of veils between themselves and that knowing. And those veils turn up as sort of like social things that interfere and like, I won't say that because I can't say that till the ninth date, and I'll just wait till we've been married a few years to mention that part, and oh, yeah, well, you know, I'm an environmentalist, but, oh, I happen to have, you know, 1,000 shares of ExxonMobil, but I'm not going to mention that, and so forth. And so what you need to do is be a kind of a detective and listen to the ways in which people reveal themselves. And remember that you can't really relate to people in a whole way unless you meet on the level of values. And this is something so obvious, it's amazing that it's not like talked about more. But one of the reasons it's not talked about more is there's this other little thing going on, which is karma. And the influence of karma tends to push people into situations unconsciously, or we kind of can slip in there and get involved, and that magnetic pull latches on. And that can trump the conscious assessment of, is this right? And often some things that are just absolutely not right happen and keep happening. And so given the rich potential that you have, and given this amazing energy charge that you are carrying right now, which is bringing you a form of magnetism, it is bringing you some kind of cosmic charisma, that you be the one with your hands on the steering wheel. And it's not going to feel like one of these nicer new, power assist steering wheels. It's more likely to feel like the steering wheel on a Model T, where you can feel every bump in the road as a jerk in the steering wheel that wants to pull you the other way, and you've really got to keep hold of it and drive the car straight down the road and notice that there's a little cliff over there. You don't want to go off the road that way. And, oh, wow, there's a truck coming in that direction. Better stay in my lane. And there's a curve coming. I'm not going to pass. Not only that, I'm going to watch for other cars possibly passing and so forth. The use of your choice of direction, given all of these factors, is, it seems to be, if there's a lesson, I hate to use that word, but if there's a lesson to this astrology, it is using your power of choice to direct your life in the directions you want to go and away from the directions that you don't want to go. And that is to say, to, among many other things, focus, for example, a conscious assessment of values over this force of karma that seems to make things happen. And if there's karma, grab hold of it and get some control and decide what you're going to do with it. But I think the more important thing than karma, though that's so influential, is to focus on doing what you know is the right thing. You might call that dharma, a corollary principle to karma. And do that and assess everyone and everything on the basis of whether it helps you stay focused on what you know you are here to do. And that knowing can take faith. And part of what you're doing is you're building that faith. And while you're building that faith, I would remind you that the journey is not a perfect journey. It's not, every step does not exactly come out right. But that is a fact of existence on Earth. That can't stop you. There is always a process of taking two steps forward and maybe a half of a step back, and then you go forward and you may come back a little bit, and you may go straight forward for a while and then have to pause and figure out what to do next. There may be moves that are a bit sideways that you then get yourself back on track. But as long as you have as your central meditation your willingness to home in on your sense of purpose, and that you consider that, and if you are looking for guidance about your sense of purpose, one of the things I would suggest is what you feel passionate about and also what you are very good at. The chances are, if you're very good at something, even though you may not give yourself credit for it, but, you know, don't necessarily judge your photography on the scale of Ansel Adams or your music on the scale of Mozart. If you are good at something and devoted to something and you've acquired and concentrated talent and a gift, that did not happen by accident. It happened through a process of focus and devotion and some element of trusting yourself. And this is the thing to build. It's the thing to work with. It is, in a sense, the common ground that you share with yourself. The last thing I'll say, and this goes back to the whole story about what's done to kids and how they're pruned back, is that this bold, experimental, creative factor is the essential element of creativity. It is the mind's ability to imagine something that was not there. And it's coming from a number of different places in your chart, and it's going to be focalized by the aspects that are about to happen. And that's accented by the Venus-Neptune conjunction that is exact as I am saying these words. The most precious thing that you have and that you can explore, experiment with, and claim as something that is, if not necessarily your property, something over which you are going to be the steward, is your gift of imagining, your gift of seeing something before it exists and then bringing it into some form of material imagination, material creation. This is very strong for you. It is spoken of easily. I could come up with five ways offhand that it's described in your charts, and then many more ways that it's described in your charts if I had an extra 10 minutes to think it over. It's coming up again and again. And the result of this may look like, at an early stage, something that contradicts either what the world is ready for or what people around you are ready for. And I suggest you set both of those things aside. These are the two elements that can be the most discouraging and that most often turn out to be total bullshit, because the objections people have are often completely flimsy and based on these stupid ideas about what might be convenient for them that one day, or they don't like the idea of dating someone who is up all night painting, or these ridiculous things that people think. So the objections of others and the seeming, whatever form those objections take, push yourself and just hold your space open and do it. As for the world, as for what the world is ready for, well, when the world goes through a big change, most of the time, the day before the change happened, it didn't look so ready for it. And your house of your relationship to the world, which I would consider to be the 11th house, which can include both a sensation of the public and also the money that you make on the work that you do, is in a state of radical transformation. You are in a position to establish yourself doing something very different that has nothing to do with anything that's ever gotten the FDA seal of approval or the Good Housekeeping seal of approval, or that mommy and daddy would approve of or recognize in any way. And there are so many examples of this happening throughout the course of modern history that it's hilarious, like the record executive that said that guitar bands are a thing of the past about the Beatles. So don't worry about those things. The reception of what you're doing, you know, what the quote-unquote public or the customers or whatever might think, or what any one particular objector might think, anyone who, especially an intimate person. This time in your life is about you. By making this time in your life about you and your relationship to what you do, what you love, what you came here to do, you will be enhancing your environment and, by extension, the world around you, and inviting the experiences with other people that actually do something positive for both of you. On that note, I will leave you and sign off, at least from the 12 signs of the spring report of 2014. If you have any questions or thoughts, you are welcome to write to me. My private email address, eric@francis.pw. Please don't write to me on Thursdays or early on Fridays. Any other time is good. Weekends are pretty good. I can tend to get less email. And if I don't answer your email in about a day or two, just send it again. That is fine. It just helps me because I don't have to go searching my inbox. If you're Pisces Sun, do not forget to read your rising sign. If you're curious about your relationships, I suggest you listen to the Virgo recording. If you're curious about your career and that in the biggest, most adventurous sense of your career, I suggest you listen to the Sagittarius reading. If you are curious about money, I suggest you listen to the Aries reading, and I'm going to suggest that everyone listen to the Aries reading. And the other thing, apropos of both financial involvements and sexual involvements, check out Libra. I'm just going basically by the houses in your solar chart. Of course, if you have your proper natal chart, you can listen to the signs that are indicated by the sign on the house cusp of those houses. But these readings work very well for the sun and the solar houses. All right, nearing the end of a long journey here, and the beginning of much adventure and excitement. Do enjoy this time of Chiron and Pisces. P.S. By the way, above all else, it's not going to last forever. Indeed, it's not going to last very much longer. Chiron and Pisces is an incredibly special time for Pisces. I'll have more to say about this in future articles. Please do check out any of my writing on Chiron that I have posted, some recent articles, some much older articles. Either Chelsea or I can help you find those. All right, I'm going to sign off for now. A pleasure working for you. Pleasure serving as your astrologer. Bless. Bye for now.